This is PGI. Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Pacific Edge conference call. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to your Pacific Edge CEO, David Darling. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and welcome to everyone. I have with me here today Kate Rankin, our CFO. Welcome, Kate. 2015 was a positive year for Pacific Edge. We're now starting to see some good commercial traction, particularly in the United States, which is our primary market. And the highlights for the year include a strong uplift in our commercial revenue, the launch of our second Cxbladder product, and good commercial progress as we executed our U.S. market strategy following our launch there nearly 2 years ago. We're at an early stage of our commercial journey, and we are continuing to invest in our company. We believe that the quickest way to success is to focus on our Cxbladder products, and we're building a one-stop shop offering of tests. Our first product, Cxbladder Detect, was launched in the US in mid-2013, and we launched our second product, Cxbladder Triage, late last year in New Zealand. This will be launched in the United States in the second half of this year. The US remains our primary market, with thousands of urologists and millions of potential test opportunities. We're still in the early stages of executing our US strategy, and 2015 was our first full year of trading in this market. We're lucky to have very experienced management, operating staff, and personnel leading our company, particularly in the United States, with Jackie Walker's ably leading the team over there, supported by a subsidiary board of directors, which has extensive in-market experience. We've made very good progress this year, and we remain focused on the future opportunities available to us. So moving on to slide four, one of the major highlights for our company in the 2015 financial year was the launch of our second Cxbladder product, Cxbladder Triage. This was launched in New Zealand in late 2014, and we're planning to introduce it to the US in the next few months. We have two products in our Cxbladder suite, both of which serve different clinical needs. Cxbladder Triage is a product that has nine biomarkers, and it's targeted for those people who present to their urologist and other clinicians with hematuria, and it's designed to triage out those patients who do not have bladder cancer, and this provides a significant cost saving to the healthcare systems, and of course relieves the patient of a worry and a burden of having to go on for a full urological workup. Cxbladder Detect has five biomarkers and is used to segregate out those patients who have bladder cancer. These tests are designed to be used sequentially and are complementary. They address specific needs that the clinicians have in the marketplace. In particular, we have two large potential customers in the United States for Cxbladder Triage and one in New Zealand at this point in time that we're working on. We have two further Cxbladder products in the pipeline, which we expect to launch to the market over the next 18 months. Moving on to slide five, our commercial pathway in markets can be broken down into four key steps. First is identifying a market opportunity and establishing franchise operations. Second is building awareness with key clinicians and payers or funders. Then our focus moves to the sales process. Our experience has shown that the best way to sell our products is to use specialized sales teams who build relationships with key clinicians and allow them to trial our products through user programs. Our commercial success comes when we transition from these user programs into commercial sales. We currently have established partnerships in New Zealand, Australia, and the US and are achieving good progress on our commercial journey in these markets, particularly in New Zealand and the US. We are also continuing to investigate other markets and have identified Southeast Asia as offering an exciting opportunity for our company. There are two distinct opportunities in Southeast Asia. First are patients requiring testing for bladder cancer as per our a normal procedure in other markets. And the second is unique to Southeast Asia and is the rapidly growing number of medical tourists who come to the region for regular wellness and medical checkups. where our Cxbladder tests could be part of a regular regime, particularly Cxbladder triage. Singapore, in particular, offers a number of benefits as an entry point into the region, including the widespread use of English, internationally certified hospitals, and a significant and growing population of medical tourists. We've had positive discussions with a number of key hospitals and opinion leaders in Singapore and expect to finalise our business case for expansion into this region in the coming months. On to slide six. An important part of our commercial strategy is to build awareness of our products and credibility amongst the medical community. Clinical performance studies, research and peer-reviewed science papers are an important investment area for us. We've completed a number of validation studies, including the most recent, which favourably positions Cxbladder Detect as the leading non-invasive bladder cancer diagnostic tool in terms of its relative performance when compared to the other widely used non-invasive bladder cancer diagnostics. These include the Eurovision FISH assay that is widely used in the US and reimbursed by most major payers. The findings should be highly relevant for both urologists and US payer organisations who provide reimbursement for cancer diagnostics tests. Slide 7. User programs are a key part of our activity to build awareness of our product. We have found that once urologists have the opportunity to trial Cxbladder with their patients, they can see its positive benefits as a quick, cost-effective, non-invasive and highly accurate cancer detection test. It can take a number of months between the start of a user program and commercial sales. This depends a lot on the size of the organisation and the size of the user program. We initiated a number of user programs in all our markets in the last year, including a large-scale program with Kaiser Permanente in Southern California, which is trialling our product with approximately 2,000 of their patients. We expect to receive the first tests from this evaluation program in our Hershey laboratory for analysis in the next few weeks. Our laboratory throughput is now on a positive trajectory and continues to rise. Throughput in the second half of financial year 15 was more than double that of the first half, and we expect strong growth through this coming year. Moving on to slide 8. The US is a very demanding and challenging market. However, our knowledge and expertise has grown exponentially over the last 2 years. We are now making good commercial progress in the US, and we are starting to see traction in both the uptake of user programs and test sales. Having a specialised in-market sales team is critical to establishing our presence here. And in financial year 15, we expanded our US sales force from 4 to 12 and are looking to increase this to 18 with the further addition of 6 sales executives in this year. Payers such as insurance providers and the national provider networks who act as intermediaries are an important part of the US healthcare system. We have now signed agreements with the 4 largest national provider networks, which give millions of clinicians and patients access to our products. We're also progressing our discussions and working through the procedures and processes with the Centre for Medicare and Medicaid Services and with the Veterans Administration. We have submitted our application to be included in the federal supply schedule, which is necessary to gain commercial access to the VA, and are committed to completing our VA and CMS processes in this year, FY16. Our progress in other markets is outlined on slide 9. We're seeing strong penetration and uplift in the New Zealand market as we start to move some of our earlier user programs through to commercial sales. The launch of the e-commerce site was an exciting first for our company and provides a further channel for us to take our tests to market. The size of the New Zealand market limits the number of tests we can provide through this channel, but it serves as a good trial for similar execution in other markets. We are continuing to work with our partner HealthScope in Australia to ramp up our marketing and sales efforts and we'll be shouldering more of the direct sales process ourselves in this coming year. As we said earlier, we have also identified an opportunity in Southeast Asia and are currently building our business case to take advantage of the significant and very exciting potential of this market. And moving on to slide 10 and looking at our financial results for this year, I'm going to pass across to Kate, and she can walk us through those financial results.
And hello, everyone. We reported ordinary revenue of $3.35 million for the year, of which 57% was from product sales, which increased to $1.9 million. This increase is a result of the uplift in commercial sales following the launch of CX Splatter in the US in mid-2013. Grants are also an important component for the progression of our company as we continue to invest into executing our growth strategy. Financial year 15 was the second year of funding from a $4.5 million Callaghan Innovation Grant, which is spread over 3 years. Our continued investment into people, intellectual property, market expansion, and product development formed the majority of the $10.58 million loss for the year. This includes our investment into research and development, clinical trials and studies, and the user programs. I'll now pass back to David to continue.
Thanks, Kate. Moving on to slide 11. Over the last 13 years, we've invested in developing our proprietary technology, building our business model, and creating entry points into international markets. On to slide 12. So looking forward, what can you expect to see? Our strategy is to deliver high growth over the medium term by creating more products and building scale in an increasing number of markets. Slide 13 outlines the four key initiatives we have planned for financial year 16. The US remains our primary focus and will be our main area of investment again. We're looking to expand our sales force and we'll increase the number of our user programs. We're committed to completing the CMS and the VA processes this year to allow us access to these patient groups, and we have now submitted our dossier for access to the federal supply schedule, which is paramount to enable commercial business with the VA. The large user program with Kaiser Permanente is expected to be complete late in the calendar year, and we will be looking to transition this into commercial sales in the follow-on financial year. Southeast Asia is an exciting opportunity for our company, and we will be finalising our business case and looking to establish operations in Singapore. We have already had some very positive discussion with clinicians and healthcare providers in Singapore, and we will initiate user programs in this market to build wider awareness and acceptance of our products during the year. We will continue to build our one-stop shop of Cxbladder products, with our second product, Cxbladder Triage, expected to launch in the US in the next few months, and a third product, Cxbladder Monitor, brought to the market over the next year. Finally, we see an opportunity for patients to drive sales of our tests by requesting them as a preferred option from their clinician. We've been working hard over the last 12 months to develop an online patient community for bladder cancer patients, and we will launch this in 2015 along with our development partner, Mellon Health. Going forward, we will expect to see Pacific Edge move into a smaller role with regard to the support of that platform. We have the experience, the expertise, and the knowledge to successfully execute our strategy, as outlined on slide 14. The company is led by an experienced and very able executive team, supported by a strong board of directors and advisory boards. Our knowledge base continues to grow, and we are confident we have the right strategy in place to achieve commercial success. We're excited about the opportunities ahead of us and expect our laboratory throughput and commercial revenue to continue growing strongly as we add more exciting Cxbladder tests and as more clinicians and patients use our innovative cancer diagnostics products. I'd like to pass back now to Yvonne to take some questions.
Thank you very much. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. Electronically, if you'd like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchscreen telephone. We will proceed in an order in which you signal us, and we'll take as many questions as time permits. If you're using a speakerphone, please be sure your mute function is turned off to allow the signal to reach our equipment. Once again, please press star 1 on your touchscreen telephone to ask a question. We will now pause for a moment to assemble the queue. Thank you very much. Our first question comes from the line of Jason Familton from ACC. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yes, we can indeed.
Cool. Yeah, it is. Yeah. I'm just wondering what's happening in Spain. I guess you talk about it very briefly in the prepared remarks. And I guess secondly, what learnings have you got from Spain and potentially the development of the Singaporean market?
Sure, that's a good question. So we have a very good partner in Spain. They remain a great partner. They chose to launch a product that we have yet to launch, and that's CX Bladder Monitor. And they chose that particularly because they had a key opinion leader that saw the biggest market opportunity in Spain as monitoring for recurrence. And so that's the approach they've taken. And when we launch CX Bladder Monitor, we expect them to pick that up and move away with that product. So the biggest learning from, having partnerships is it's always a challenge, even when you have great partners like Healthscope and Orizon in Spain. And there is really nobody who is better prepared and more motivated to deliver products to market than ourselves. And you've seen this in our own execution in our subsidiaries, Pacific Edge Diagnostics New Zealand and Pacific Edge Diagnostics USA. Thanks, Jason.
Cool. That's right. And the other one, you talk about good penetration in New Zealand. Can you just talk about how, I guess, the revenue opportunity is developing in New Zealand? I mean, clearly I understand it's a smaller part of the potential opportunity, but have you signed up most of the DHBs now, or is there further growth to come?
Thanks, Jason. Yeah, no, there is further growth to come. We've got some exciting developments in process, and we look forward to announcing these as they come up. New Zealand is our home market. It is extremely small. There are 40 urologists in New Zealand. There are 260 in Australia. So between us, we have 300. When compared to the 10,500 that they have in the United States, you can get a metric. However, we're able to do some really innovative things here, and of course the launch of that e-commerce platform was really, really exciting, and we see a significant and growing number of people coming directly to us, and then we're able to take all those results and straight to their defined preferred healthcare provider, such as their GP or the urologist. And what we've seen in the market is we've seen some strong, bold steps out with the likes of Mid-Central District Health Board, the Eurotech, who service Bayer Pliny and Lakes District Health Boards. And we've seen even a large company in New Zealand who arguably may be in the at-risk industry for the in-field operators have used our test for their people. So, yeah, some very exciting things happening in New Zealand, but still a very small market.
Okay, thank you for that.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you very much. Our next question comes from the line of Chelsea Leadbetter from Forfight. Chelsea, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Great, thank you. Morning, Dave. Just a couple of questions from me. First of all, I just wondered if you could give us a bit of an understanding about the business plan that you have for the VA when you do get access to the federal supply schedule, i.e. what
sure.
sort of resources will be targeted in that area to drive sales growth?
Yeah, thanks, Chelsea. Good morning. That's a great question. So the VA is, they have 20.5 million lives under coverage. They have somewhere between 10.6 and 12 million veterans that they look after. They are federally funded. They have their own hospitals. They have their own clinics. Generally, people have to travel in to those federally funded institutions, and they are quite geographically dispersed. So that can often be a challenge for the veterans. The veterans themselves have a very high incidence of microhematuria, and that microhematuria leads to a large number of cystoscopies, which require anesthesiology. And so the VA is generally overloaded with these microhematurias, and this is a great opportunity for Cxbladder triage. So our sales team are looking forward to, one, completing the access to the federal supply schedule, and two, having the launch of Cxbladder triage, because we see the Cxbladder triage product as being a product that would be ideally suited to the VA hospitals and the clinicians in those hospitals. So at the moment, that whole sector, or that customer segment, that market segment, is not available to our salespeople because we don't have a registration with the federal supply schedule. And but when we do receive that registration, we will be mobilising our sales team quickly, along with their new knowledge of Cxbladder triage, and a direct selling process to sell into those facilities and hospitals. So that's how we will approach it. And they will be adding those each of those hospitals and clinics in their respective sales regions to their daily routine. Does that answer that question for you, Chelsea?
Yes, no, that did. I mean, just one further question on that. You mentioned that they're quite spread out with respect to their hospitals. So do you believe you've got the required coverage with respect to your sales team to meet those geographies?
Yes, we do. And, you know, in certain cases, because we know where they all are, in certain cases, they will have salespeople who will travels, you know, specifically to address those individual institutes. We talk to a lot of those clinicians on a general basis and an everyday basis, and we have recently had an outstanding showing at the American Urological Association meeting, where there's approximately 16,000 urologists who attend, both international and US-based urologists, and we've seen a very strong uplift in awareness of Cxbladder products in the market, and in particular we saw a number of those clinicians who service those veterans attending our exhibits in our store.
Okay, thank you very much. And just one final question from me. Just trying to have a bit more understanding on sort of the time frame around Southeast Asia and how quickly you could grow revenue in that market. Will it have any implications on your sort of 100 mil revenue target?
Thanks. Yeah, that's a very good question. The Southeast Asian market is a great one for lots of reasons. First, you know, it's opportunity rich. We outlined in the talk we gave this morning here about the two market segments that we wish to target, and in particular in Singapore, and these numbers are readily available to people who wish to look them up in the public domain. A couple of years ago, there was around 330,000 medical tourists in Singapore, and this year it's estimated to be around 990,000 medical tourists, and predicted to go out to 1.34 million medical tourists in 2018. And that's a large number of people coming to town for a city and a country of 4.5 million people. It's a great opportunity. We have this ability to be able to take the samples from Singaporean clinics and send them on a jet directly back into New Zealand and run them through our facility here in Dunedin. So we have the capability and the capacity in the laboratory here in Dunedin. And we can do that in a 3.5-day turnaround, which is, an excellent outcome when compared to a normal pathology cycle for delivery of services. So that's great for us. So it really means that there are low reimbursement hurdles. There are low regulatory hurdles for us in Singapore, because we have recently announced the IAN certification for the laboratory, which is specific to servicing that Singaporean market. And we don't need IAN certification and their complementary ISO certification to service our normal Cxbladder tests. However, it was a specific requirement for Singapore, so we've ticked that box off. We're obviously evaluating logistics providers because that'll be the next major step for us, setting up an in-market office. And so we'd expect to have 3 to 4 large user programs up and running this year, and those could transition relatively quickly, Chelsea, given that we don't have to put in place a massive amount of infrastructure. We don't have to build a laboratory, and it's highly variable. We can scale that up progressively or wind that back depending on how the company is progressing. A great opportunity, and it's a significant scale opportunity for the company.
So are you expecting to need to change that 100 mil revenue target then?
Yes, we'll be looking closely. When we finish our analysis of that market, we'll then have a better estimate of what our stake in the ground would be for a 5-year full trading cycle for Southeast Asia. It'll be dependent, obviously, on our rate of progress that for going into places like Bangkok and into places like Taipei and Hong Kong. To give you some sort of an idea, Chelsea, the Bumrungrad Hospital in Bangkok sees 570,000 medical tourists per year. It's a great opportunity.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you, Chelsea. Our next question comes from the line of Catherine Genis from Edison. Catherine, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Catherine.
Hi, Catherine. You might want to consider press unmuting your line.
Can you
Catherine,
hear me
are
now?
You there?
Yes,
yes, we can.
Can you hear me now? Okay, sorry. Good morning, everybody. I was wondering, it was very helpful how you walked us through the veteran administration process, and maybe you could give us a little bit more color and walk us a little bit more through the Kaiser Permanente user program as well. I see that you expect the first tests from the program over the next few weeks. So is that to mean that that'll be starting at a smaller scale and then building up, or kind of like a wave, or how will that play out? And then maybe a little bit more on the timing of the completion of the program.
Thanks, Catherine. That's a good question. So Kaiser Permanente is a very large organization. They are an integrated healthcare provider. And by integrated healthcare provider, we mean that they carry their own insurance, they own their own hospitals and clinics, and they effectively manage the patient from the time they come into the system to the time they leave the system. And they like to offer the best clinical outcome for the best cost to the patient and the healthcare system. So they're potentially a very, very large customer for us with this 9.5 million lives under coverage. They see a very large number of people who present into the system with hematuria. And then they progress and triage those patients down through the organization. And they're very interested in Cxbladder triage as a tool to triage out those patients who don't have bladder cancer and who would therefore not need to have potentially have a full clinical workup. So that's a great opportunity for both the patients and the company. They have embarked on approximately a 2,000 patient program of evaluation. This is to test the product in their own clinical settings with their patients, and then they will analyze those results. And we anticipate that to go for about 6 months. It may be a little longer, it may be a little shorter, depending on that flow of patients. And they have the ability to wind up that process and wind it back a little bit. They have spent quite a significant amount of time developing a specialist software package to enable their patients to recruit online, and are anticipating sending out our urine sampling system to these patients in their home to further expedite the process and to test this as a utility feature for both the patients and the company. As you can appreciate, there is some significant cost to having a patient come into any facility and to be administered even before they evaluate them and then go on to treat them should they have bladder cancer. So that's expected to take about 6 or so months, and then we'd expect a couple of months to clean up the data, analyse the data, and enable that to enter into the decision-making cycle and process within Kaiser Permanente. And so we'd anticipate this process to be finished by the end of the year, this calendar year, and that will enable us to get a commercial process underway, from as we expect a great outcome to this study.
Okay, great. So, and the decision-making process isn't very long once they have all the data and they have analyzed it?
We don't know that, Catherine, exactly how long that decision-making process is. We know nothing about that. However, we do have a very, very keen head of clinical who is champing at the bit to get his hands on our product. So, that's always a great thing when you're inside an organization.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you very much, Catherine. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. We will now pause for a moment again to assemble the queue. Our next question comes from the line of Simon Hartley from Otago Daily Times. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good morning, David. Okay.
Hi, Simon. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Wanted to ask a little bit about the financials. Was your cash burn of almost $14 million during the last financial year, was that expected to be that high? I think there's some in the market that have raised their eyebrows just about how much has been gone through.
Thanks, Simon. I'll get Kate to comment, but I'll just give you some initial comments.
Sure.
No, that was highly expected, Simon. We obviously have a tight budgeting process, and we have a real good feel for what we were going to be investing into that program during the year.
Yep.
We obviously started out the first half. We didn't have our new 8 sales representatives, who are obviously very expensive to run in the United States. And so they joined the program in August and September. And, so our cash burn kicked up a notch or two in the second half of the year. So We started the year with $20.44 million. We hit the half year with $14.7 million in the bank, and we concluded the year with $7.8 million. So we're burning about $1.1 million per year. And each of those numbers was readily available to people. You could do that maths in your head, Simon, as they're progressing. So.
Sure. And as this morning's capital raising announcement, how long would you expect that to see you through?
Simon, obviously, capital raising is always a challenge, and we saw this as an absolute necessity to ensure that we could deliver on the growth opportunities that sit right in front of us, and we just outlined what those are.
Sure.
in the call previously. Obviously, in that pack, you'll see that we've specified how we'd expect to utilise those resources, and there are those three major tenants that sit there. Firstly, just to ramp up those 6 extra guys into the United States, launch that triage, and capture those new big transformational customers, the CMS, the VA, and Kaiser, and really gas that up. And secondly, to bring those two new products to the market, we will be, you could count the number of companies with more than one molecular diagnostic product in the market. On one hand, and it's really rare. It's a great outcome for the company to have multiple products. To be able to provide a suite of products is really unheard of. And so, our products are being enjoyed by the urologists. They see the potential for it. They particularly like the fact that there is going to be a suite of products, and we expect to capitalize on that. So
very good.
The next two products that hit the rack, and then obviously, this Southeast Asian opportunity, we've been watching and preparing for that for quite some time, and we've done some really good work over the last year to get a good look at that market. We've been working closely with New Zealand Trade and Enterprise up there, and we've done the hard yards and done the flying. We've got some more work to do to close it out, but a great opportunity going forward, Simon.
What's the actual number of urologists in the Southeast Asia sector?
That's a very hard number to get hold of.
Sure, I appreciate it.
And the biggest part of that opportunity is really the medical tourists, and they're concentrated in those metro centres through those hospitals. So, for example, in Singapore, there are 25 hospitals and clinics that service the healthcare system in Singapore, and all those 15 of them are registered, internationally registered, for the management and treatment of medical tourists.
Okay. And just lastly, sounds like you've got the potential with Southeast Asia to revise positively your $100 million revenue in 5 years, or that's coming up to 3 years now, I guess. Any thoughts yet on a break-even year?
No. Obviously we watch that pretty closely. You can see a transformational effect on our financial position if we... if and when we bring these guys across the line. If you take just that one Kaiser Permanente example, they are doing tens of thousands of samples in any one site, up to what could be in excess of 100,000 samples. And if you work out what our gross recoverable revenue for each and every test is, then the potential there is large.
Yeah. Okay.
It can be a transformational change, Simon.
Appreciate that. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Our next question comes from the line of Andrew Bolan of Salt Funds Management. Andrew, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Great. G'day, guys. Hey, Dave, I was just wondering if you could provide a little bit of colour around CX Monitor and how that's differentiated from CX Detect, sort of on the basis of the total addressable market for Detect, of course, being the 2 tests per annum. After diagnosis through years 2 and 5, it sort of sounds like it's targeting that market of Detect. So just explain a little bit of that for me, please.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks, Andrew. That's a very good question. So Monitor is a specific test for CX Bladder Monitor is a specific test that we have in the last stages of development. We anticipate that there may well be 7 biomarkers in that test. We're just finalising those features now. And this is a tool that is expected or anticipated to work somewhat similar to triage. And as you will all know, if you have been looking at the bladder cancer process, when a patient is diagnosed with bladder cancer, under the European standards, they can have up to 6 cystoscopies in their first year, and then 4 cystoscopies for every year for the next 4 years. Bladder cancer has a very high recurrence rate, in excess of 70%, and of that 70%, approximately 30% of those progress to a later stage. So it's a pretty serious disease, and it's monitored very closely. And those tests that are used in the monitoring regime can be very expensive. They're also very invasive, and they have a negative effect on the compliance of any treatment and management regime from the patient's perspective. So when we're able to offer up a non-invasive urine-based test that we can use for patients, and we're able to say to them on the basis of a monitor test that you don't need to be fully worked up, you can, this can be ruled out with the monitor test, then that's how we expect this test to be functioning in the market. So there is a large number of test opportunities for CX Bladder Monitor, and they come about particularly as you would expect that test to make greater inroads in not only being a support to cystoscopy, as you would expect CX Bladder Detect to be, but also to help out in replacing some of the less necessary cystoscopies that the clinician may otherwise be using. Does that help you, Andrew?
Okay. Yeah, that's great, thanks. I was just wondering, we've sort of talked in the past where it was 4 tests in year 1 and then 2 thereafter. Has clinical best practice changed? Or
The US standard is a little bit lower. However, the actual deployment, the difference between the clinical guidelines and the art as practiced by the clinician can vary quite dramatically. It's really up to the individual urologist. And in the United States, they often err on the side of more is better.
Okay.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for that, Andrew. And our next question comes from the line of Adrian Vance from Forsyth Barr. Adrian, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning, guys. You've obviously been working pretty hard on the Centre for Medicare and Medicaid. What gives you the confidence there that you will receive that this year as stated? And also, what is the impact on the positive and on the negative if you were to receive this or not?
Thanks, Adrian. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
That's a good question. So the CMS is a big prize. It's approximately 40% of the market. They are an insurance company. They look after people who are over the age of 65. Currently in the market, when a patient comes into a urologist, they'll either be privately insured or they'll be operating under their CMS coverage. And to get, CMS is a non-prescripted process. You enter into discussions with the contracted organisation who administer the CMS in your local region. And we're very fortunate. We have a company called Novitas, who is the contractor for the CMS, and they're based in Philadelphia. And the key people in there are very au fait with molecular diagnosis and very keen to bring them to bear. They know just how they can make a difference. So in building a dossier that you need to put together for the CMS, you need to basically interact with those guys and meet their needs as they see them. And this can be an evolving process. It's quite a long-winded process. And as a general guide, it can take, and there's really no shortcuts for it, but it can generally take up to 2 years to get a CMS approval. And, of course, we've been working on this for a long time. You also have to have your product in the market. You've got to have urologists who have been using your test for a significant amount of time. And as part of that process, you submit your dossier to their review board, and then you're required to bring along some validatory urologists who say, I've been using this test for over a year, and I see these positive benefits in this technology, and this is how I use it in my regular practice. And so we have... We're just collecting up the last of the bits and pieces for our dossier. One of the key elements in that process was met the other day when we announced the publication of our head-to-head comparison with Eurovision Fish Test, and that was a necessary element for that process. It's a great outcome. The expectation was that Cxbladder Detect only really needed to go head-to-head and be equivalent to Fish. We always had the knowledge that we would be able to significantly exceed that expectation. And, of course, the paper went on to show that we outperformed all of those tests in that publication. So we're not far away from, re-engaging with those with the team at the CMS with our latest and greatest information.
Okay, thanks. And obviously, if you were to receive that, that has an immediate impact in terms of commercialization?
Correct. Thanks, Adrian. I opened that comment by saying that on an everyday basis, we work with urologists who are seeing CMS patients. So that would be an immediate process.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Adrian.
It appears there are no further questions at this time. I will now hand the call over back to David Darling for additional closing remarks.
Well, thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate those questions. They were searching and in-depth, and it was it's great to be able to talk to you this morning, along with my colleague here, Kate Rankin, our CFO, and to bring you our positive results for the year, an exciting and very promising year ahead for the company. And it's onward and upward for us. Thank you very much. Back to you, Yvonne.
Thank you. This concludes today's session. Thank you very much for your participation.
Cheers.